This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. This week on the Compass, we talk with the director about the triumph of imagination and technology that prevented the 44th annual Port Townsend Wooden Boat Festival from becoming yet another victim of COVID-19. So now, let's go inside the Compass. As we approach the end of a summer that witnessed the demise of the great majority of the festivals, plays, and other cultural events that have for years defined the season in Port Townsend, all untallied victims of the COVID-19 pandemic, one of the town's most treasured traditions found a way to translate from actual to virtual and survive. I spoke via Zoom a few days ago with Port Townsend Wooden Boat Festival director Barb Traylor about that amazing pivot. When did you realize that the Wooden Boat Festival, as we have known it, was going to have to be canceled? When did that, like, you know, really sort of...
Well, I really give Jake and the board a lot of credit for that. We decided pretty early. I mean, we were the first event that I know of locally, for sure, that canceled. And I was in very close communication with all the events on the peninsula. There's a Washington Festivals and Events Association, and I belong to that. And so I have been very in tune with them. And even that, I think we decided in March or April. I mean, it was early. We were also at the point where we needed to start putting major deposits down on tent rentals and things like that. You know, like I'm planning the festivals well in advance of the next. Like sometimes I have things that are planned for 3 years out. You know, it's definitely a long-term thing. But some of our infrastructure, the tents and those things, we're paying deposits on all year long. And they, you know, a lot of those weren't going to be refundable. They would say, oh, we'll put it towards next year. But the way the Maritime Centers run, that we didn't need to put deposits for 2021.
Right.
What really drove the decision was not thinking that it was going to get better by then, that we would be in an all clear situation. And that even if we were in a, say, in a phase four, we wouldn't be in a place where managing a festival where people were still afraid, you know, like we really dove into it and thought it out really quickly. What, you know, like what's plan B look like? And plan B, C, D, and E weren't effective. They weren't fun. They weren't, you know, we didn't have time to pivot like that. And I mean, even renting the port costs us like $30,000, right? So that's, we have this huge infrastructure cost that we have no matter if two people come to festival or if 30,000 come. So we really don't, you know, unless we have good attendance, it's, you know, it's not profitable for us.
That actually brings up a really interesting question, which is, you know, what has been sort of the average attendance at the festival over recent years?
That's always the question. So the average attendance is about 10,000 people per day, but a lot of people come multiple days, and that's where we get the 30,000. It's really hard to get the accurate numbers. I would say at least 10,000 of those are people that come duplicate days. We give away like 2,500 passes just for volunteers and people that participate, you know, like, so kids are free, it's free at night. So it's really hard. It's real hard to determine.
I know that the Wooden Boat Festival is one of the bigger drivers of the local economy each year. I mean, because many of those paid tickets are actually from out of towners. They're tourists who are coming in. And so it's dollars coming from outside.
As far as I'm aware, Wooden Boat Festival is the most profitable weekend of the summer. For sure, the hotels are all booked out. And most weekends, the hotels do get booked out. But I think our weekend is the most income producing weekend of the year. As far as I'm aware, we've actually tried to work to try to find out those numbers. And nobody really tracks that.
there must be a kind of friendly rivalry going on between the Northwest Maritime Center and Centrum, because, I mean, the Festival of American Fiddle Tunes is, I know, a very popular weekend also. And
absolutely. Yeah, and that's where it gets really confusing, because the only data that I am aware of are what when the hotels are all booked out, you know, like through the LTAC funds. Right. And so, but Centrum has all of its own housing. And so,
right.
Like at the fort. So it sounds like those numbers should just be real easy for us to find. And they actually aren't.
When did you actually make the decision? Well, we could actually do something.
We actually made that pretty early on as well, that we would actually try. We didn't, I can't even remember if we stayed that there's nothing happening ever. I don't know. I think we may have said we're going to do something right away. I honestly can't remember. It's been a busy summer doing something we've never done and trying to figure that out. So it's been pretty fun and I'm incredibly exciting. But
tell me a little bit about that process. I mean, what did you imagine?
We spent an enormous amount of time even just figuring out the platform. Like, how do we do this? I'm friends with Jeanette Force at the film festival, and we worked with a lot of people that we know through Microsoft and things like that, that gave us tips and would meet with us and talk us through. But we had a logistical, between our website platforms and kind of what we wanted to do and what we thought was possible, and then how you actually make that happen. There was a bit of a learning curve right off the, a steep learning curve right off the bat.
Yeah, I imagine. Right.
Yeah. But unbelievably, our plan didn't really change that much from what we really wanted to do and what we are doing. Very little change. I mean, a little bit of structural change. Most of the live interaction will all happen on one stage. We didn't recognize the expense and complexity of having live interaction on multiple stages. You know, like when you go to the Wooden Boat Festival, it's just this buffet of everything's happening all over. And we wanted a similar experience. We didn't want it. I mean, there's plenty of film festivals out there, and that's not our business, right? We wanted it to be a festival and have that same experience where you're walking down and you see somebody's boat and then you want to talk to them and that kind of thing. So what we did is we organized it so that the navigation is loosely based on the same stages that we have at the Wooden Boat Festival. We have the adventure stage and the boat building stage and the boatyard stage. And the adventure stage, exploring discovery stages. And then we have in the harbor, which has all the boats on it. So, you know, we tried to emulate the real festival as much as possible. I mean, of course, we didn't manage to figure out how to do a beer tent. We think everybody should go down to the PT Brewing and pick up a growler and go.
That's
home
always been the most important part of the festival for me.
It is. A lot of people connect at the beer garden. And so.
Well, not just that, but also the music stage.
Absolutely. It's a huge part of festival. And so we're bringing a very small component of music. You know, I have some very good friends that always play at the festival, and because all the musicians are off all summer, the idea of playing on Zoom was not attractive. You know, I really tried to get some bands to engage with us, and in all honesty, nobody was into it.
Really?
They love the crowds. They love being in the tent. You know, it's being on a Zoom call with people. It wasn't something most musicians were interested in. And I can't blame them. The dances at night are pretty great.
So what are you doing in the end about music? I mean, is there going to be any music?
We're having one music jam session that Kristen and Otto Smith are kind of organizing. So there's a very small music component, but what we really tried to emulate was all the educational aspects and the boats. You know, we do surveys, not every year, but often, and people always say that boats are the most important aspect. So we've really got a lot of boat interaction. We've got 40 boat videos of boats from all over the world. We've got over 30 boats in the boat gallery. We've got, tall ship tours and really a lot of things there that are quite fun. You know, Jake Beatty does a tour of his boat. And so it really does have that fun feel, like you, in fact, in some ways, maybe even better than at the festival, where you're traipsing across somebody's boat and they might be busy. This way you're getting, the owner gets to say what he really loves about his boat or doesn't love it. They're really quite sweet. And so we have content that's like 5 minutes long or maybe 3 minutes long. And then we also have presentations that are 45 minutes long or longer. So,
but what's going to be missing, of course, is the opportunity to sit down on the boat and chat with the owners and ask them questions about their adventures or how they treat their woodwork or all of the sorts of things that we boat people like to talk to each other about.
For sure. You know, you can't do everything. And we did try to engage some boat owners to do Zoom calls. And, you know, like do that where they're sitting on the aft deck of their boat and let people zoom in and talk to them. And again, to them, it wasn't quite the same. So we do have quite a few. We have 20 Zoom calls going on where people can call in, and we have it call it the Ask the Expert stage, where people can call in and that will be on a schedule. But yeah, they can call in and ask the shipwright or ask the rigger and that kind of thing. And so that'll be fun. We've got some people checking in from that are down cruising in Mexico, and people can call in and check and see what it's, you know, like, how is it cruising in Mexico right now? Can we leave? Can we go down there? That kind of thing. And we've got people from the Caribbean and even Singapore. So, you know, we do have some of that engagement where people can actually talk to the people, but we can only do what we can do. And I think what we've brought is a pretty amazing experience, but it isn't festival. And maybe rightly so, you know, festival is pretty special.
It looks like you're also having, I watched your trailer earlier today, and I have to say that there were some pretty exciting images in the trailer. I recommend to people to, if you don't do anything else this year, go at least and watch the trailer, because I love the image you started off with, that amazing Viking ship. I mean, I forget the name of it, but
The Draken. Yeah. So that, that's the trailer in and of itself is amazing, but we have 6 feature short films that were created just for this event, which is where they got all that amazing footage.
Original films. It's not like you were borrowing documentaries from elsewhere.
Correct. For those 6, most of the content in the virtual festival is original. There is a little tiny bit of films that people, I had a guy from Armenia contact me, and I'm going to be showing his films, and I doubt anybody has seen those. So we have a couple really amazing connections with international boats that people might have seen them online, but very doubtful, very doubtful. So yeah, these original 6 films that we had made just for this occasion are pretty spectacular, and we chose the topics. The Draken is the largest Viking ship in the world. We're so excited. We got to know them last year, and they were slated to be here for 2021. And they still may come, but we, depending on the pandemic climate, whether it's a good year to have them come up the Northwest, they'd actually like to do the race to Alaska, which would be incredible.
Wow.
So, yeah. So we'll be having a Nordic festival in either 2021 or 2022, and the Draken, the boat that this special video is made for, is on that. And we'll be here.
You must be deeply into the sort of whole like contingent planning world, where you're having to sort of plan things in multiple ways in general. I don't know what sort of percentage of the Maritime Center's operation the Wooden Boat Festival is. I mean, I know it's huge, but you do lots of other things.
Yeah, I mostly work, I'm the director of the Wooden Boat Festival, and then I run all the on-land events for the Race to Alaska in 7048. And so, yeah, we're going to be going into contingency planning and what does that look like right after this. I'm actually pretty up into this right now.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's all encompassing because, you know, we're down, normally this Maritime Center staff has, I don't even know how many, but we're down to 20% of our normal staff. So wow. It's been a very few of us putting this whole virtual festival on, like four of us putting this on. And so it's a different world. And you know, 50 volunteers that volunteer all summer long with us, and then some 700 come out of the woodwork and help us do the festival. So it's usually a pretty big community event, which is, I think, is an important aspect of what its purpose is. It really brings people together. And without that, it's been very different.
Is there going to be a merchandise area for the festival? I mean, one of the things that I know I've relied on, I mean, I'm a wooden boat owner myself, and I've always really appreciated the opportunity to go around and talk to the vendors of various varnishes and oils and compasses, and I mean, all of the different gear that is supplied at the festival. It's very educational. I mean, not just for the demonstrations that you get, but actually the opportunities to talk to people about their products.
Yeah, we really wanted to do that. And being such a new year, it was hard to engage the merchants in doing that when none of us had any idea of how to do it. And then a few events did put things on like that. And without some real serious time and effort, it was, they weren't done well. And so we sure didn't want to do that. So we are, I think we have good ideas about how to do that in the future, how to give people that experience of stopping by Pygmy or stopping by right. Small Craft Advisor, you know, like that. We definitely want to give people that experience, but we didn't really, it's very challenging to figure out all those logistics, you know, that it isn't like you just put a link online and, you know, that's it. So no, we don't have that at this festival. That was one of those learning curves that we had to go through, was knowing what we had to let go of and mm-hmm. what was possible, because there's so many more things that were possible than we could have dreamed of. But we did have to let go of some things that, you know, we just can't create the beer garden. Just, you know.
Like, no. Nor can you create the boat building contest. I mean, that was another one.
We really tried to create the boat building contest, I got to tell you. And we will do that in the future, because we thought that could actually be really cool, because you wouldn't have to be on site. You know, I had a couple high schools that were really excited, and we thought, wouldn't that be cool if we got shop classes from around the states to engage in that? And, but with the schools not knowing if they were going to be in, you know, like, it was just too hard.
Yeah.
So we did have that one all figured out, because we could have people check in on Facebook and things like that. But with the unknown of if schools were going to be happening, even nobody could participate.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the interactive parts that you are going to have. So I gather that there will be some demonstrations. I mean, can you talk about what's being demonstrated sure. and the opportunities that there will be to ask questions and so on?
So on the main stage, those six feature films that I talked about, we will have, well, first thing in the morning, Sean Kuhman from the boat building school will be doing a master class on boat building, and he will have a 30-minute Q&A after that. So on the main stage, there'll be Q&As after every single event. So Sean Kuhman will do his master class, and then there'll be a Q&A. And then I don't know what's next, but one of those, either the Draken or whatever movie, these special films we had made. And then we have the Draken, we have Saba, which is a cargo ship being built in the jungle. We have a special feature that was created about a day in the life of a marine tradesperson. We have a special on the festival. We have a very sweet story about young people hitchhiking, doing wooden boats on a shoestring kind of thing. And one other video, but there'll be Q&As after all of those. So people can engage in those with the people and the filmmakers if they choose. And then we have like seven stages that is content that's on demand. So that's kind of like Netflix. It's like you can do it whenever you choose. And then we have the Ask the Expert stage, which will be the stage or the stages that has the scheduled events, and you can engage with all the people there. So we have asked the rigger, asked the shipwright, asked the experts from Mexico, ask how to install a marine head, ask, you know, like just all kinds of great topics there. Howard Rice is a very famous small boat adventurer. He will be doing a presentation there with Q&A after. And then he'll do another presentation with John Welsford, who's a famous boat designer from Australia, and he will be on the call. So, you know, we've got a lot of interaction stuff, but it's in either one of those two areas. So people can definitely get involved. And I think we've got 20 of those Zoom calls. So definitely multiple choices per hour of what to do if you want the engagement. The thing about the engagement too that I should mention is those are all available that day only. So people really should do the engagement on the 12th, because after that, the on-demand content will be available for a month, but the engagement, the live interactive piece, is only that day. So that's helpful when you're planning your day.
And actually only in the moment. You have to choose. It's just like the regular festival in that regard. You don't get to like go to all of them.
You don't get to go to all of them.
Right.
But the fact that 90% of the content is available for a month is something we've never been able to offer before. So I think that's an absolutely unbelievable offering. I mean, most of our friends that come to the festival on their boats and things, or our presenters, never get to see any of the presentations. So this is really quite fun that, you know, like people that have never seen, myself included, get to actually see some of the presentations. So it's pretty cool. And that, you know, that's pretty special to be able to, that's one of the ways that it's way better than we could have imagined.
Right. So how about the boat visits, as you were saying, those are like pre-filmed and presented. So, you know, if you want to visit a boat, you'll just click on a link to that boat and there'll be a little film about
it. Pictures of the, either pictures of the boat with the boat name. So we've got probably 40 boat tours. So it'll say, I'm not sure how it looks on the website, but I believe it, the way it works is it'll actually kind of have a picture of the boat. And so you can be like, oh, I'd like to hear about that boat or that boat. And so there's 40 of them up there to be able to get, and from all over the world. We've got boats from Australia, boats from Norway, boats from Croatia, boats from Turkey. So
you've got boats that might not have actually made it to a real festival.
Most definitely. Like. Yeah, like that's where it has turned out to be way more fun, and we're able to provide things we've never been able to before. So that even though we can't provide those very few things that we can't provide, you know, we're providing so much that we never could before and never could, right? I mean, you could never have a boat from Turkey here, most likely. So that's pretty fun.
With the film festival, if you're a member of the film festival, then there's films available through the, I mean, you can look at the films that are offered in the festival throughout the year. Is there any thought of perhaps doing that for like the boat viewings, for example? I mean, you have those clips now. And
yeah,
maybe as a perk of membership.
We've thought a lot about it because this has opened so many doors. And I've definitely been thinking about it a lot because I'm the one digesting most of the content. And I've been talking to Jake about it, how we could, I can see us going into maybe monthly offerings, or maybe not quantifying it, but there is a lot of conversations that we've started with this virtual festival and, you know, things we want to know so much more about. I mean, one of the beauties of the Port Townsend Wooden Boat Festival attendees are, is they're very curious. They want to know more. They're, you know, people that are part of this community, they are, they really want to know the details. And so I feel like we're scratching the surface on some of what's possible. And I'd love to bring bigger stories and more of this to our people. Absolutely. The idea that this is just scratched the surface of this unbelievable potential that I'm really excited about.
So here we are just about a little more than a week out from this. So how are ticket sales going? I mean, if people like, you know, caught on to the fact that this is actually happening, and are they signing up for it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they're going great. Of course, there hasn't been a big push to get tickets in advance, like there never is. I mean, we sell 80% of our tickets at festival day of. So we kind of anticipate the same thing. There isn't a big push or on the internet, there is no limitation, you know, like, so I think a lot of people might be waiting, but sure. Yeah. Tickets. It's the trailer has been a great, promoter for us. We're excited about that. The t-shirts are darling. The poster is fantastic. We're really excited about the artwork this year. So it was fun to take a whole new look at festival and do it in a different way. And the trailer especially has been really, really fun. It's to be able to bring that kind of life of what festival really is about, you know, it really just does it so well.
So we're about to run out of time here, but let's talk a little bit about how people sign up and how they attend the festival.
Yeah, so the tickets are available on our website, which is virtualwbf.org. And I'm sure if you go to the Wooden Boat Festival website from a long time ago, or, you know, like our normal one, you will get there too. But virtualwbf.org, and it's all about it. It's super easy. You just buy a ticket, and then you will get sent the day before at some point in the morning, you will be sent the link when we make the website live. So then you'll be able to sign back in.
I see. And what is
starts at 8 in the morning.
Starts at 8 in the morning and goes until what hour?
It's a month. Most of it is good for a month.
Oh, I see. Right. But the live portion of it is...
Right. So that day, the Wooden Boat Festival live interaction ends at about 6:30. I'll be talking to Captain Fatty Goodlander, is one of our Zoom calls, and he's quite a famous sailor. I'll be talking to him at 6 o'clock, which will be the very end of the show. And then the Race to Alaska movie starts at 7. And then there's a live Q&A with them after the Race to Alaska movie. So it's a full day. If you want to catch all the live pieces, it's a very full day. But like I said, then you have 95% of the content is available for a month.
Great. Well, I want to thank you very much for taking the time today. This has been very educational, and I look forward to the festival.
Thanks. Well, thanks for having me on.
The virtual 2020 Port Townsend Wooden Boat Festival takes place from 8 in the morning until 7 in the evening this coming Saturday, September 12th. With Festival Director Barb Traylor, this is Steve Evans reporting for KPTZ Community Radio News. This week's Compass was written and produced by Steve Evans. The Compass airs Saturdays at noon and repeats on Mondays at noon and 5 p.m. You can listen to podcasts of past Compass programs at the kptz.org website, where you can also stream KPTZ live 24 hours a day. For the news team here at KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, I'm Steve Evans.